We're in good moods today.
Yeah, which is a, you know, we're not taking this for granted.
No.
I got to capitalize on my good days.
Good day.
Okay, I told you, we're launching our singing careers today.
Yeah, but I will never be able to tackle SZA.
No, that's why we're podcasters, not singers.
Oh, you just said we're podcasters.
I don't know. I'm just trying to step in, okay? I'm trying to step into the role.
And that goes exactly into what I've been thinking about all day and what I was journaling about, what I was meditating about.
So Carly and I just got up back from a walk and I asked her how her day was. And she was like, you know, actually, I had kind of a breakthrough this morning. And it wasn't like a breakthrough, but just a moment of peace and like real visibility of self, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to let her take it from here.
Well, when you go through multiple phases of depression and identity crises and fear of failure and holding yourself back and not believing in yourself and yeah, just phases of that, which I feel like is just the epitome of being in your 20s. And then you reach a point in your life where you kind of realize how far you've come on your journey of emotional regulation and pride and sense of self and groundedness and stuff. I don't know. I was just having a moment this morning where I was like, some of the things that I say about myself or about what I believe about life or some of just the one-liners that come out of my mouth sometimes or habitual thinking, it doesn't really land anymore. It doesn't resonate anymore. I'm kind of saying things that don't feel true to me and mostly all in the realm of playing small.
Yeah,
What
are some of the things that you're still telling yourself that you feel like you've grown out of? Also, we're really getting into it fast today.
I feel we are kind of getting into it fast today. That's just how we do. Even in response to doing the podcast, if I ever get feedback about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so vulnerable. It's scary. It's this, that. I'm weirdly not that scared, but I don't know why. I think maybe just because I'm doing it with you. So that grounds me because our friendship and our relationship is grounded and makes me feel confident. But in other areas, I think how I feel about myself in regards to my relationships, I'm still weirdly speaking and slightly operating with the essence of clawing for my worth, but it's like so feeble the way that I'm carrying that out because I'll be like, oh no, you know, I want us to be close or I want to know what this person feels about me or I want to, you know, whatever. It's like I'll be telling myself that I want something or I'll be thinking that I want something and then my body is like not responding to that thought or that concept. My body's just like, dude, you're fine. Like you're confident, you're comfortable with where you are, you know, and you don't need anybody to validate you or tell you that you're good enough or yeah, just any of that anymore. Of course, I want and crave community and love and belonging and all of that, but it just feels really different in my body now mm-hmm. than it used to. I just used to feel so desperate and stressed out and emotionally volatile. And when I was in an emotional downward spiral, getting out of it felt nearly impossible. And now my downward spirals are not that deep and don't last that long, at least at this particular phase in my life. And I don't know that I've ever had a phase in my life that felt like this before. So I think just playing small and staying small in certain ways and holding myself back from really standing in the place that I'm in right now. I hate this word, is so cringy, but unapologetically, I don't know. That's just...
Why is that cringy?
I don't know. That word just cringes me out.
What the heck? You weirdo. Never thought about that word being cringy even for one millisecond in my life.
Maybe that's another version of me playing small. Not wanting to be cringy.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely.
Okay, I mean, fine. It's not cringy. I'm unapologetic.
No, for me too. Feeling scared of the cringe is definitely a way to play small.
But yeah, we were just talking about how I'm so grateful to have met a space in my life where playing small in certain ways doesn't feel aligned anymore. And I want life to give me the opportunities to be challenged and to really stretch myself. I want that. I feel ready. I know that sometimes there's this concept of life where it's like, you're never really ready for anything. But you'll rise to the occasion, which I think in a lot of scenarios is very true. But how I feel right now is I just feel ready. And that's really nice.
Well, listen, I can't relate because my spirals, they're deep. My current spirals are spiraling. But I didn't spiral today or yesterday, which that's I'm pretty great. Stoked about.
That's a huge accomplishment.
It's a win. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I haven't had a bad spiral in like a few days for sure. But honestly, I'm not really joking though. But yeah, I think that she didn't mention this part, but she was talking about this podcast that she was listening to earlier, Jay Shetty.
Mm-hmm.
And on this walk that we were just on, she was saying that she was listening to a podcast earlier. And kind of part of the essence of the conversation was talking about how the visitor of the podcast was expressing guilt over his life and over his career of like survivor's guilt almost of making it and making it out of his situation and other people in his community not making it out of their situation, you know, and the desire to play small at certain times because of said guilt, you know. And I said to Carly, without even listening to the podcast, something along the lines of like, damn, hearing him say that is so crazy because he's a huge actor and he comes from an underprivileged community on the East Coast. And him soaring in the world only helps the world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It only benefits his community, society at large, the planet. And he seems like a good ass dude too. And then I was thinking, like, I have those same thoughts with myself of just general imposter syndrome of doing anything. I'm like, well, why would I do that? You know what I mean? And we've talked about this. I think we talked about this on Cringe Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
But again, applying that thought of it's to the detriment of society and his community for him to shrink himself
mm-hmm.
in hopes of not rubbing anyone the wrong way or hurting anyone's feelings or stunning on anyone or anything like that, you mm-hmm. know? But then it's so crazy because it's like he's so connected to his community. And the fact that he has those feelings and has that big of a heart and cares that much, you know that he's gonna help so much and so many people through his success and his fame and shit like that. You know what I mean?
Commitment to owning his shit. And
yeah.
Yeah. Not playing small, playing big or playing himself. And however big that gets is however big that gets.
Yeah. And then you apply that to yourself and you're like, well, what the fuck good does it do for me to live in this little box that I put myself in so many years ago? And I mean, I relate to that so much. When we were talking, it's like, I don't agree with a lot of the looped thoughts that I feel mm-hmm. recently. I really don't agree with them and me I don't too. Really identify with them. But it's very hard to break through what you know and what you're used to form a new identity and let go of an old one and let yourself grow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy.
Yeah, outgrowing your old self is such a mindfuck kind of. Because you latch on so hard to who you are and at each point in your life. And it's just, this is who I am. Even when you're like, who am I? You kind of are who you are.
Yeah.
At that phase of your life.
100%. Right now, I feel like a
but then you get to a point where you're actually like, actually, I'm not anymore. I was for a while. And then, but now I'm genuinely not. And so I have to kind of divorce myself of any thoughts or feelings that don't align anymore that are holding me back from fully embodying this person that I am now, that I might not always be, but that I am now and I wasn't once.
And then the mind fuck is if you're someone who wants to be growing and learning and changing at all times, and you also hope and pray that you live a long life, you have to face the fact that divorcing oneself and remarrying your new self is going to be a pretty regular thing that you have to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This isn't some exception to the rule. No. This is something that you have to commit to of like, I want to live a long life and I want to constantly be growing and changing and for the better, you know, moving towards the person that I feel like I want to be. So then you get to this place where you're saying to yourself, this is your normal. If you want to live the life that you say you want to live, get comfortable, baby, because this is where you're going to be. You know what I mean? Like constantly looking in the mirror and saying, do I identify with the things that I'm saying to myself, that I'm telling myself, who I am, what I like, what I don't like, where I'm going, you know, so on and so forth. So that's also a trippy part of the whole thing is you don't want other people to put you in boxes, but you're the one putting yourself in a box the most, you know? And if you really want to commit to the life that I feel like I'm telling myself I want to live, and I know you're telling yourself you want to live, getting comfortable with that change is step number one. That's the most important thing because it's going to be happening.
I think another thing that connects to this for me that I was journaling about earlier is I have a commitment at this point in my life to show up to each situation with the mindset that I don't have to know anything. I only have to be open to learning.
Mm-hmm.
And that way of operating, that mode of operating for me gives myself distance from being too attached to my identity at any point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it allows me to change my mind in a split second as often as I feel called to. I don't have to defend anything in that way. I don't have to feel defensive of myself, my beliefs, my perspective, if I'm always willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I really struggled with as a kid because I did kind of feel like it was always modeled to me that being wrong was like shameful in a way. But it definitely has been a lovely journey of quieting my ego to be able to show up the way that I want to with other people, especially in like problem solving situations where I want to help, I want to solve, I want to be an asset. But the older I get, the more I realize what an asset it is to be open-minded, and that empathy is really about hearing and believing and connecting to other people's perspectives and experiences that maybe don't fully represent what you've been through, you know? And it's just important to me because I do feel like we live in a time where opinions now are like a fight to the death all the time of everyone wanting to be right and for their mode of operating to be right. And it just feels so important to me now more than ever for my objective to be open-minded and empathetic versus a know-it-all, because that's annoying as fuck. But it really relates to making peace with the knowing that you are going to change over the course of your life. Hopefully, Lord, hopefully you're going to change over the course of your life, and to give yourself that space to continue to become who you are. And then the extension of that is to give the people around you space to become who they are. And I do feel like that's such a sticking point in so many relationships, is that you're holding people to who they were at a certain point. It's like, you're different. You're different. Why are you, you know, and they should be. I mean, it's important to acknowledge when the way that you're evolving is so far apart that there's nothing really holding you together with someone anymore. That's really challenging and emotional. But it's fair for people to change, and it's fair for you to change.
Something that I think is important to note on this, that's a human experience, but is very much so my experience too, is coming to peace and forgiving your past selves so that you can lovingly kind of leave them there and approach them with like a warmth and a welcome acceptance rather than an energy of shunning them or being embarrassed by them or trying to disassociate from them, kind of. I don't know if anyone else experiences
this. No, you're talking about, did you ever watch Jonah Hill's therapy documentary?
Hell yeah, I did.
So that's what you're talking about, is that thing he was talking about the shadow self?
Yeah.
About how you just constantly run away from your shadow self.
Yeah.
And it's like the shame you carry in a heavy, heavy backpack on your back at all times. And that the challenge is to be able to look your shadow self in the eye and give it a warm embrace. And
that's what I'm doing right now. I'm trying, at least. But I think that's the biggest hurdle for me personally, of moving into this next phase of my life because I really feel like I'm in a transition phase right now, very much so in my spirit, in my body, in my life, in a lot of different ways in my life. But I think the biggest hurdle that I'm having to cross right now is approaching my past versions of myself and my shadow, current shadow self, with a loving embrace so that I can kind of just make peace with certain things and not focus on those things and move forward, you know, towards what I'm looking to do. And I think that that's such an integral part of the whole process of letting yourself grow is coming to terms and making peace with all the past versions of yourself that you don't necessarily identify with today. You wouldn't make the choices. You wouldn't think the thoughts. You wouldn't say the things. You know, you wouldn't, whatever it is. But kind of approaching those versions of yourself with a warmth rather than with shame or an energy of shunning them or trying to disappear them or anything like that is, I think, a pretty integral part of it all.
Yeah. What is a shadow self that you feel like you have shame over?
What is a shadow self that I think I have shame over? Let me think about this for a second.
Like that you have to meet with warmth.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is general judgment, the judgmental part of myself. And I would actually say that I'm moving out of being that person right now, but I still, that's a part of myself that I really don't like at all.
Mm.
I really don't like her. She just reminds me of who I was growing up, kind of. And I really shun her inside of me when I feel her come up. And I really don't want her to be a part of the party at all. And I know that the hardest part is moving past her means stopping the self-judgment. That's the hurdle.
Yeah.
Judging other people, I feel like I love to not judge other people these days. It yeah. brings me so much joy to let people be who they are. And if I don't like them, just look away.
Yeah.
I fuck with that so heavy right now. I enjoy it so much. I really want to understand people a lot more than I ever did. I really want to see the gray area of someone. And I do believe that everyone makes sense.
Yeah.
Who they are makes sense. You know what I mean?
We talk about that a lot.
We talk about that a ton. And, you know, with my guys in prison, like, I've learned so much from that. It just all makes so much sense. You know what I mean? Just yeah. everybody, not even the dudes inside. But that part of myself, the only way that I will ever retire her is if I'm committed to stopping the self-judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And frick, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I've been judging myself since I popped out, I feel like. And obviously on the episode on body image that we released a couple of weeks ago, you can imagine that, you know, that was a lifelong thing for me. And so some of those habits, they die hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't sit and judge Same. my corpse anymore, but I judge my ability and I judge my thought process and I judge my intelligence and just these different things that really I don't deserve that at all.
No.
I'm trying my best and I'm trying to be better. And so that's a part of myself that I find myself shunning a lot. But the funny thing is that the act of shunning is an act of self-judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very cyclical thing for me where this idea of welcoming the disdain for that part of myself with warmth and love, that's the only way that I'm going to get through
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because just the mere judgment.
That reminds me of my perfectionism.
Yeah.
Because perfectionism is also a feedback loop. Because the way that the brain actually interprets perfectionism is that when you're striving to be perfect, when being perfect, which is obviously everybody knows unattainable, but when that's your goal and you don't meet it, your brain's reaction to that is not, oh, it's impossible to meet that goal. I'll make a new goal. Your reaction to that is, I wasn't perfect enough.
Yeah.
And so then you're harder on yourself
yeah.
to be more perfect. And there's nothing but shame married to perfectionism. And so it's like, it feels impossible to get out of that cycle of perfectionism. And that is something that I have struggled with my whole fucking life. mm-hmm. and it's held me back from so much. It's held me back from even just being able to be myself, because at a certain point, you're identifying so much with your performance in everything you do that you lose sight of who you even are and what your values are and who you want to be and what you want to be for the world and what you want your relationships to be like, when all that's fueling you is your ego's desperate need for validation. It is a deep, dark hole. It is hard to get out of. It really is suffocating.
Well, I identify with that so much with the judgment thing, because I subconsciously assume that people are thinking the same thoughts about me as I'm thinking about me, i.e. judging me the way that I'm judging me.
Yeah.
And that's how the brain works, right? Is that how you view the world is largely how you feel the world perceives you, you know? Yeah. And that's why when people treat you certain ways, it says everything about them and like little about you. Obviously, everything's circumstantial.
Yeah.
Dependent on the situation. But I identify with that so much because I've held myself back from doing so much and being myself and trying things and this, that, or the other in certain situations, because I just assume that people are going to judge me the way that I judge me.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is that most of the time people are like, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
I thought you did so well. And I was really proud of this part and this. And you're like, you were? All I was thinking about was this small nuance that I just hammered home of being like, God, what is your problem? You know, whatever circumstance
it is. It's like the other day when you were like, I was in a shame spiral for weeks over this one thing that I said. And it was the most normal thing ever. And I never, ever thought about that. But yeah, all that is to say, we spend a whole lot of time and energy making up stories in our head of what's going on with other people in regards to us. And the vast majority of it has absolutely no basis in fact or truth at all.
Ba-donch. You know what we should do an episode on?
What?
What we learn from Love on the Spectrum.
Okay.
One day. Okay. We should do it soon.
I would have to rewatch to remind myself, because I watched that like 2 years ago.
This is a new season though, I think.
With the same people?
I don't know. What the heck do I know?
You probably started on season one.
I think I'm on season two, but who cares?
Oh.
Anyways. But yeah. I've really been putting in the work, y'all.
Yes.
I've been trying. It ain't easy though.
No.
It's pretty hard being a human sometimes, you know? Your mind really plays tricks on you. And I always get so caught up in this concept of feelings not being facts, because they feel like facts so much. And it's very hard for me to get past how strong they process in my body and the tricks that they play on me. Mm-hmm. It's really been something that's been difficult more recently than any time. I mean, I've gone through so many different phases, but recently it's just when I feel something, it feels so real.
Yeah.
And I know that some of the stuff that I'm tripping over is not real at all. Actually, all of it. No. Sarah and I were just talking about how to slow down time yesterday. And I was like, I think the trick is just mindfulness, you know, connecting with what is and not living in the future and living with the past. That's not my original thought. That's the general thought of how to slow down time is to live in the present. But just connecting with what's actually happening in this moment and not letting your mind take you to a million different places that aren't real is really hard, but it's really important to live a good life, you know?
Yeah. I read this quote today that said, to be nobody but yourself in a world which is doing its best night and day to make you everybody else means to fight the hardest battle which any human being could fight and never stop fighting. E.E. Cummings. And that obviously speaks to authenticity, but I also think that that speaks to understanding at any given moment what feels aligned to you and what doesn't. And that is such a massive part in allowing yourself to be reinvented and reimagined as an individual every day if you want to, but also just coming through different phases of life and realizing who you've become or who you're becoming. And even when it is different than people around you, than what they're doing, or different than what they expect you to be doing, or different than what you would have expected that you would be doing. What a way to live life. Like, what a way to truly find fulfillment that intuitive evolution where you're meeting life as it's meeting you and you're doing your very best to take steps that feel honest and soulful and genuine. I just don't know how else you could find fulfillment other than to walk that walk.
I know. I'm so excited to meet the version of myself that is fully embodied and like doing me.
Yeah.
I don't think I know that person yet. I think I watch her do that in some things and I watch her be timid in doing that in other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just super excited because I know that's a true essence of me.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to watch that person step fully into herself.
Yeah, I saw this TikTok the other day that really made me laugh. And it was this person saying, when someone tells me, oh, you know, this connection doesn't feel aligned, I'm not that into this, the person was like, hell yeah, boo. You do you. You walk your truth. Mm-hmm. You speak your truth. Like, they were basically just saying, like, it doesn't hurt my feelings. It doesn't hit the way that it used to when somebody tells me I'm not in alignment for them. Because what a blessing.
I know.
To not have to work really hard to uncover that. Sometimes in life, it feels like you have to fight to uncover clarity. But when someone just offers you clarity,
mm-hmm.
if you choose to allow that to be a blessing for you and just a very clear road sign of, okay, not going that direction anymore, new direction, you know, woo. Something that's clearly not in alignment for me is choosing to leave and cool. This is kind of like what we were saying before about
literally just was going to say. So this morning when we were talking, God, we talk way too much. So I was like on our walk right now when we were talking and this morning when we were talking and last night. No, this morning we were talking and I was saying how tough it is to, when you're dating, send that text message that's like, hey, I had a great time, but like, I'm not feeling it romantically or whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Carly hit me back and was like, yeah, but is it that tough though? Because this person doesn't want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with them. And leaving them confused is the worst thing that anyone could do. Being honest and clear, that is the kind, good way.
It is.
And I agree with her. I just, 100% I agree with her. I couldn't agree more. But it's so counter, a version of me in the past has processed that, at, or not in the past really. I was like, I hate rejecting people.
The ego will always sting a little bit in the face of rejection. I think that's so normal. But long term, even short term, give this person a week and they're going to be A-okay.
A week? Like, that's even too much time. A couple days, bro.
Depending on the situation, if you've been seeing someone for consistently 2 months or 3 months or whatever, you know, give them a week, give them more than a week, whatever they need. But it's always going to, like, the rejection, it's not like that person's inside their body is going to be like, delish. That felt great. Mm. But the gratitude in the long run is like, is there for people who are willing to tell you the truth and not string you along and give you the opportunity to go find what actually is aligned for you. That's kind.
And that's good dating karma too.
Totally.
Because I would way rather know where I stand with somebody than be confused. Please crush me in this moment so that I'm not sitting around wondering what the fuck is going on, you know?
It's the worst is when somebody is like, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. And like, I could even see under different circumstances, maybe this could possibly potentially be something, but it couldn't. Right at this second, but nothing, you know, no doors ever fully closed. It's a shut the fuck up. Like, I hate that because then that person for the next couple months is going to be like, well, maybe they're going to see the light. And, you know, we really did have a vibe. And they specifically said that it was just a timing thing or whatever. It's like, timing is fair. It's true. But I think there's an element to every breakup or just like time that you disengage with someone that is just, if you felt deep in your soul that this really was someone that was meant to be in your life in a major way, I think in many, many, many cases, you would have the motivation to figure it the fuck out. And if you don't have that motivation to figure it out, then the reality is that person is probably just not for you, but you don't have the heart to say it that way because you're so uncomfortable with thinking that you're going to hurt somebody and you're not able to face that moment of discomfort. And so you'd rather soften the blow. But then in the long run, it leaves that person fantasizing in their mind about the potential of it maybe picking back up again. And that just sucks. That is a shitty energy to be lingering. That lingering energy. If someone has done that to you recently, I highly encourage you to mentally and emotionally chop that energy off. No. You're not going to leave a trail of hope for me. No. Okay. If you wanted to be here, you would be here. And there are always exceptions to every rule. Sometimes there's really serious stuff going on and timing actually is really bad. And there is a really, like, of course, you know, but I think many of us know when we're in a situation where we're just being overly hopeful that maybe this will be the person who comes back. And I hope this doesn't sound harsh, but my stance on that is just don't hope for anybody to come back. If they do come back and the circumstances are right and it feels really aligned and it feels like there's been a change that has happened so that this dynamic would actually work, amazing. But I just am of the opinion never to just wait for anybody. And it's also, your life.
Also too, when they come back, actually make a decision of whether it works for you. This isn't, you're not living on their timing.
Yes.
This isn't about what they want. What the fuck do you want?
Dude.
If this happens 5 months later and you're like, you know what? Nah, the window's closed. I don't like you like that. Like whatever it may be. Or no, you know what? I didn't like how that processed in my body of how that happened. And I don't really want to spend my time figuring out how you're going to do me because I didn't like that experience with you, you know?
Yes, this reminds me so much of my younger self and Caitlin, my older sister. Hi, Kiki. I remember having multiple conversations with her when I was in my early 20s about different people that I was dating at different times. And her persistence in reminding me that you are half of this dynamic, dude. Like, you are contorting yourself for somebody else to want to stay, for somebody else to want to engage with you, to like you, to this, that, and trying to accommodate someone's every want and desire and constantly thinking about what that person wants. And are they here or are they going to leave? What are they doing? How are they feeling? Blah, blah, blah. And you're taking no time to even pay attention to whether or not this person makes sense for you. And so often I would get out of something with somebody and I would be sad at first and kind of having that abandonment wound trigger and panicking about, oh, I'm unlovable, blah, blah, blah. And then give me a few weeks and I was like, what the fuck was I doing with this person? This person, we could not be a worse match if we tried. Like, it's painful and depressing. And because I was just so focused on wanting to be loved and wanting to be accepted versus shaping the life that I wanted. And yeah, paying attention to who I am and what I need. And I don't even mean that in a toxic way where it's like everything has to be about me and my needs. But it's like, if you're not focusing on that at all,
no,
you have zero chance of having a productive, healthy, happy, fruitful relationship. You have a 0% chance. You have no chance. I'm so sorry. You have no chance. You don't. Because you're going to be constantly self-sacrificing and giving up everything for somebody else. And you're going to find yourself in a position where you're not valued for shit. At all, not even by yourself.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm speaking from experience, by the way. I'm not being a hater. I'm just being real from my own experience.
No, dating's crazy. My mindset's kind of changed around it recently, which has been really helpful. I was saying to Carly and somebody else the other day, I was joking. I was like, I'm in free agency right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a free agent, baby.
You are.
I feel like in the past, I've really gotten so caught up in my fear of, I don't know why I've associated dating with kind of being out of my hands. And what if I get stuck in a situation like this? Or what if I get stuck in a situation like that? And I don't really know how to describe it. But all of a sudden, I've just realized recently, like, the ball is in your court, baby. you get to make decisions that feel good for you, and you get to make decisions about things that don't feel good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to say them. And I think stepping into my voice a little bit more recently has given me that clarity of just knowing you're gonna advocate for yourself. You don't have to put up
with anything.
I don't have to put up with anything ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry. Yeah, I do. I will have to put up with things because that's what being in relationship is. But I'm talking about in the dating process. If I find someone and I don't fuck with a part of them, okay, see ya. Like, I don't know. I've just felt kind of attached to each little situation in the past. And now I feel very detached from, that sounds so cruel.
No, it doesn't. No, I know exactly what you're talking about when you say I've felt weirdly afraid of certain outcomes and felt like nothing was in my control.
Like one example of that, that I'll give you is, this is a clear thought process that I have, is what if I meet a guy and start dating him that's really nice and cool and there's nothing wrong with him, but I don't feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I get stuck in this situation where I'm with this person and they're a lovely person and there's nothing wrong with them, but I'm not happy and fulfilled. And I'm so sorry if that sounds crazy to say.
It does. Okay, see, that I'm so sorry, because that's the least crazy thing. It is so common for people to be like, but he's so nice, but they're so nice, but she's so nice. And am I just off? Am I just not seeing something? Am I just only drawn to chaos and volatility? Yes. And stuff. And because I'm not drawn to this one nice person that crossed my path, it just shows the lack of growth and the lack of commitment to being in a positive. No, like, you can spiral on those thoughts for the rest of your life. And you know what? I've taken the L and dated someone because they were nice and it ended up horrible. Okay. So I've tried it all.
Who?
Oh, who else? Oh my, horrible, horrible experience. Now, I wouldn't say horrible, but just the most unfulfilling. There was not a feeling happening in my body.
Oh my God.
I had no feelings. And you would constantly ask me, how's that going? And I'd be like, I don't know. It's going. And you'd be like, okay, well, I guess it's better than it being horrific and like traumatic. But
that situation served you though, because that was right after. I can't wait. Yes. For you to block all this out. And so that was such a high strung situation that it was almost a nice pendulum swing for you to go to someone that like you felt nothing. You felt nothing in your body towards.
I really didn't.
Bless his heart. He was so nice and I'm sure he's with a great girl.
I was hopeful that something would blossom and it just really never did. And that happens. That's the thing. You don't have to like someone just because they're nice.
Yeah. And you don't have to be in a relationship just because you're single. I think that's also, not that that's a little bit less of a thought for me. It's more the thought of, what if I end up in a situation where there's nothing wrong and I'm just stuck in this situation, but I'm not actually that happy.
Well, then, not being that happy is something wrong.
Something terribly wrong. And I've more recently, I'm just like, you won't get yourself in that situation because you don't want to be miserable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're just going to use that shaky, breaky voice in there and just say, hey, you're lovely, but I'm not the one for you.
Yeah.
And I hope you have a wonderful life. You deserve the one for you. And it's not me.
Wait, what did you just remind me of? Yeah, you just reminded me of John Tucker Must Die. And you are not the one for me.
Yeah.
What she says, yeah. You know,
John, and
you
Tucker?
Are not it.
Yeah. No, but that's really it. And that's coming from a place of love for myself, love for this person who's lovely and deserves something great, and also just care and love for my future and to live the life that I want to live and be in a relationship that makes me feel so many things.
Yeah, live your truth, y'all. Let's all just live our truth, okay?
I'm trying.
Whether it's in dating, whatever the case may be, and if you feel a ton of dread or desperation or overwhelm frequently in response to certain situations in your life, certain circumstances in your life, that matters. Pay attention to that and open yourself up to the possibility that things can change for the better and that you can make decisions to alleviate those hard feelings. You have more control than you think. You don't have control over everything. Letting go is another important key piece but you do have some control. So utilize that. Empower yourself. You got this.
Yurt.
Okay, well, cheers, sister.
Love you.
Love you so much.
'Twas a good chat. Okay, I love you.
Love you. Love you guys. Bye.